Okay, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you all the prayers and thank you especially Marisa that song when he was singing, playing the violin, it came my mind from Old Testament when there one prophet asked to bring the harp player and after that he started to prophesy and it helped the God's spirit to come down. And I thank to this call to come here and come thank Isabel Gingrich's family to appreciate this meeting, all friends who have done this. And I thank the matchers, they have been lodging me all maybe during 16 years many times, me and sometimes my co-workers, family members, and so we thank Harry and Tina here. I appreciate that nice hospitality. When I came, I told them I have three homes. I have one in Finland and one here in Texas in their home and then one there in Tiberias in Israel. I visit many other places but I don't feel so much to be there at home. And here has been many times up the problem of cancer and we even discussed it on Tuesday evening in men's meeting when I came. And even this trip I have been praying many ministries who has the problem with and fight with the cancer and against the cancer. And in California there is a young brother, I have been standing beside him now 15 years. He's now 35 and he was a little bit under 20 when I met him first time. And when he was 17 years old, He went to mission work to Mexico and reached many people to Jesus. All his free time he wanted to use and go to Mexico. But then very soon he got to start in ministry. There gave a problem to his liver and it damaged total. And after that I saw him first time and his whole body was total yellow. And then we prayed and finally Lord gave an answer and some other part in USA died same age young guy in traffic accident and they transplant his liver to this young guy. And then he could go on and do his ministry again. But now last September there came problem because he had a very strong medicine which helped his body to receive this transplant liver and that those medicine destroyed both of his kidneys. There came the cancer to both kidneys. And I gave a call his parents to Finland that please help our son is very critical condition. And he had to go three times a week in hospital to get that, how you say, dialysis, I try to pronounce it. I tried already Tuesday do it. And so, we start to pray and finally, this June came to answer and his youngest brother was ready to give his kidney and they put it here beside his stomach. And now he's back in his ministry. Now he's not anymore going to Mexico, but Lord has put his heart a special Indian tribe, and they are living there 100 miles south from San Francisco. They have hide from Mexico because they have been like the victim of violence. And they have their own language, they are not Spanish language people, they have their own tribe language that is very difficult to, because there is not even Bible for that language, and they are altogether around 2,000 people. And that young guy is going on work doing them and doing also some Spanish language people there. So, my advice is, whatever your difficulties are, keep on fighting, keep on resist. Doesn't matter, is it cancer, is it some other disease, some other weakness. Keep on resist. God is powerful to give the victory. Sometimes it takes time, but God is faithful God. We have had many other fightings, but God gives victory. And there was in Oregon, 74 years old, brother who was going to mission work to Brazil and he had bad pain in back. And he was dying one after that when I was living there, and we prayed for him. And then there was 84 years old man who had been many years in mission work in Japan and get back to home country and started very strong jail ministry in his home city. And he had a cancer, and we prayed that he still could go on his ministry. And then in Idaho I met a man who is very soon 84, and he is a strong prophet, and he is going next month for 4 weeks to Peru to train people to learn more about Jesus. And next spring he will go to Cambodia to do mission work. So there is all the time happening in the kingdom of God. But I want to share you something. I wanted to get some more, like a more easy text, but God gave me very difficult subject for you. I'm sorry about that, but I want to be faithful. I can guess some about the title of the message, but maybe it's better to put the final title when I'm finished this night. We turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and the first verse. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, to we speak in this manner. So we don't know, did Paul write to Hebrew letters or somebody else did? But he gives very strong warning here, and after that, verse 9, he goes those good things, which says that we are confident of better things concerning you. So it means that he still, when he, after he wrote these strong warnings, after that he was still believing much better for Hebrews. And what was the problem of Hebrews? Some history books tells that the Hebrews had a problem because they had Jesus Christ in their heart, and the blood has cleansed their heart, and after that they were ready to turn back to animal sacrifices or other religion rules. And that was warning for them. But now we have different kind of warning. We are not turning back to animal sacrifices. It's not our risk. And maybe 2 or 3 years ago I start to think what it means when the chapter 6 of Hebrews starts this word therefore. Have you any stop to think what this word means? How I start the word therefore? And I understood that it is pointing back to the chapter 5. And we must remember that original Bible do not have chapters, do not verses. And if I had done this this chapter, divide the Hebrew to chapters, I should have started chapter 6 from the 12 verses of chapter 5. It's pointing to chapter 5. What is, I mean, we can call it, what is this Christ group which the writer is warning that they, if they go too far from the Christ, they can crucify him again. And it is mentioned here in the chapter 5. Of course, it's nice if we should have time to read the whole chapter 5. But I read only from chapter 5, from verse 12 into the end. For told by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the verse principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid wood. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid wood belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it means that he is pointing here to the chapter 5, that if we lose our growing and we start to become a babe again, we are a risk group before the sight of God. So he is teaching whoever he is, Hebrews, to avoid this risk. Do not go too far, because this warning is very, very, very serious and very strong. Because these people, they had tasted heavenly gift. They had come be partakers of Holy Spirit, had tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come. And after that, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. It means they are the people who are born again, who are filled with spirit, they are trained, they are full teach, they are full age, and after that they start to turn back out from Christ. That's the warning of this word. But he is still this right to believing better things, but he needs in his heart that it's great need to give this. I can't say like the police some here in the United States, they give you a piece of paper and says this is polite warning. I can't say this is only polite warning. This is stronger warning. This is like the somebody takes you from your coat and says correct your steps. Turn other direction. This I see from this text raising up, whoever it wrote. So it means that we have to leave those all principles of Christ back us, going them through and never getting them back, believing them to be true things. So it means if you are once filled with spirit, God wants you are filled with his spirit every day. And what it means here are the plural, talking about baptism, it means many kind of meanings, but I take only fun. You have to every day see your old man, that it is died with the Christ, and it is baptized under the water, and it belongs there. You have to see by your, it has happened once in physic way, but every day you have to believe, my old man is crucified, it's dead, it's not allowed to speak. Like I say, the old man, old Yari, you have not right to vote anymore. You are quiet man. And that's the way we have to see that daily. It don't help us if we only testify that in history I was born again, in history I was filled with spirit, and in history I was baptized in water. They have to be, those principalities, valid every day in our life. It means you see that old man, its bad habits, all its bad sins, you see they have to stay there under the water of baptism. And then it will work. Because I see it many times that people are practicing those sins we call like the works of sin. And I will take an example how it works. If you are living closer farm where are cattle, and it's summertime and those are the flues are coming inside, or what are the flues, those amians, the fly. Any day there might come even mosquitoes anyway. But anyway, there comes many animals if there is cattle close you. And your window is open. Flies, yes. They come inside because there is cattle, they come. And then you have that special stool and you start to kill them. You hit the dead one by dead. This describes the work sins. You kill them. It goes very well. But finally, after 2 hours, you wind out, my hand is tired. I couldn't do more, and more are coming inside. So the best way is to close the window. And what that means in spiritual way, it means that the whole old man should be and have be must be crucified total. That's the foundation of all sin. If you are practicing of those work of sin, I advise you to turn other page and see that you have to be ready to give the last final hit to that old body, that it will whole foundation will die. So it's same like you close the window and flues are not anymore coming. Because many Christians, wherever I travel, they are practicing this and that sin, and they never understand there is better way to old man should be crucified with Christ and buried there under the fort and stay there daily. We have to be vague. That old preacher in Finland told someone that old man is so the crazy word is wrong, but I don't find better. It's so crazy that it's tried to start to swim there in the baptism fort, and even it tried to climb up there. The old man will rise up every morning, and we have the dog. You do not have any right to vote. You must be fired. That's God's way to handle the problems. Oops.
It was empty anyway.
I asked somebody to build this. Okay, we go to the next step. And then we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, chapter 6, sorry. And we start there from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So, it means that we are, if we have gone through those first things, those principles of faith, then we have to grow and learn the lesson that we are not from this world, but we are still living here in this world. And sometimes it looks like it's very difficult for a Christian to learn what it means. I'm living here among the world, but I'm not from this world. God's God's idea for us is that there it's His will that we share the gospel to unsaved people, but His mind is that we will our presence strange there where those wicked people practice their sin, do they bad talking and curses and practice anyway their sins. If you don't feel your willing friends among the wicked people where they practice sin, it means in your saint life is something wrong. So we have to be separate. When the Moses was demanding Pharaoh to leave the nation of Israel out, he was first asking, we want to go three-day journey into the wilderness to serve God and to make our sacrifices. Why he demands Pharaoh, we want to go beside? Because they could do them among the Egyptian idols. It was impossible. And finally, Pharaoh let it happen. So remember the separation from this world. If you have any unequal yoke together with unbelievers, quit them. It's okay if you do, if your work made your coworker is an unbeliever, it's okay. But if if there is a yoke which start to pound you because of sin, because of bad saving or something like that, then you have to quit it. Do something to that yoke. And then that yoke will come, because here was that word, how is it, Belial? Belial, yes. It means it's... It will come through the religion, that yoke. I don't know how it is here, but in Finland and in Europe, there is going on very strong movement, and they call it ecumenic movement. And what is fruit? It eats the pure spirits from the Christians, because there is unequal yoke to Roman church. They lead it. There is problem because they come to same meetings, Catholics, Orthodox, and all of the new denomination, and even they might have communion together. They make a trip together. They come to the one church. They take a big wooden cross and they walk back that cross to the next church in the same city, and they say we are sisters and brothers, but it's not true. There are many who are not unsaved, and those who are saved, they are tied themselves to unequal yoke with those unbelievers. It's sin if we say some man or woman, you are my brother, and it's not true. We fall before the calf. We have to know which people are unsaved. Doesn't matter are they Catholic priests or Lutheran priests or some other priests. If they are unsaved, it's our duty to tell them that Jesus wants to save you. We can't be too polite. We have to break all yokes. Whatever connection you have this area, unequal yoke, quit it, do something that God's holiness will confirm your steps. And then I don't know how you believe, but most part of my life I was believing what all the preachers and all saints said to me, that there are two groups before the Lord. There are we who are believers, and then there those who are unbelievers. But I start to find out that it's not true before the Lord. It happened maybe 1 or 2 years ago when God started to speak to me that Jari, it's not true. Before me there are three groups. And I was thinking, oh, what are you talking to me? And what I mean, if we turn verse to the Matthew 25, it's long chapter, I don't read it all, but I take some like referat there, and it start to talk about virgins, and there are foolish virgins and wise virgins. Matthew 25. What it means, what is the picture, the word virgins? It means the person who is born again, man or woman. So it means there are two groups. There are foolish and there are wise virgins, and then there, of course, third groups are the wicked people. So there are third groups. And if you follow this chapter more, this 25, then you find out it's talk about talents. That was blessed who had 10 talents. That was blessed who had 5 talents. That was blessed who had 2 talents. It's 22 chapter. But then there came problem. I read from verse 24, Matthew chapter 25. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have, how you say, abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here is again 3 groups. There are those who use talents, there are those who don't use, and third groups are the wicked. Because God never expect the wicked person use talent, because he or she never have it, never has it. And this chapter 25 ends when there is the story about sheep and ghosts before the Lord. And I was many years believing that sheep are believers and goats are unbelievers. But when I start to read this chapter, I understood that Freito is not turning the subject. He is still speaking about these 3 groups. And then I study more about Bible and understood. Maybe we read verse and I speak then. We read from Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nation will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you curse, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And this touched my heart when I understood that these goats are the same group who did not use the talents. And I can prove it to you because somewhere in the Revelation there is the text that there is 1,000 years break, there is first the resurrection of the righteous and after that is the resurrection for the wicked people. They are not before God same time. So this text must speak from the judgment seat of Christ. So that's why this message is serious. Then I give you another proof. Old time in Israel, same shepherd was taking care of the sheep and goats. But he handled them with a different ways. When the night came, the shepherd took the sheep to the vents, which was like the horseshoe form, and there was the entrance, and he by himself with the staff stayed the night there in the entrance and protected the sheep against the beasts, wolves and any other beasts. But ghost, he leave it outside, stay overnight because they have more hard head and they can fight against the beast there. But they still belong to same shepherd. Now maybe there is somebody's heart raise up the question, is it any more the salvation by grace? And I say yes. The salvation is by grace. But after that, we have to learn to use that grace and to put the talents on the table and practice our faith, because faith without work is dead. Love without work is dead. So it means we have to put this grace, the salvation we have received by grace, we have that whole new life he wants us to lay on the table. I think many times we think that because we talk about the table that put all talents to the table, that picture comes there from the Jerusalem temple where they had to, the foreigners had to chase the money that they could buy those sacrifice animals. There comes the picture from that table. And they put the money to the table and get other money back. And they could buy those animals what was pleased God. There comes the picture from the table. But now I am thinking sometimes that we are thinking wrong way. If this describes the table, I decide, okay, I have some gift of prophecy, I lay it on the table. Somebody thinks, I have some gifts for healing, I put them on the table. Some have others, some gifts and put them table. There is something wrong. God expects that we buy ourselves some on the table. We have to lay our whole life on the table. We can't use those gifts outside of us. It never works. They are inside of us. He wants to humble our heart, that we learn that we have to be our whole life to lay it on the that what do you call the table?
The altar.
Altar?
Where they sacrifice the altar?
Yeah. No, it's a little bit different. Okay. No problem. Yeah, it is. There comes the picture. But put the talents anyway there and understand they are inside me. I have to jump there by myself. Because sometimes it looks like that people understand it wrong, that they are ready only to lay those gifts on the table and not lay their own life. But anyway, you can test this word about other goats, those who have not done the will of God. Because if you put to the place of goats here in Matthew 25, if you put there that they place wicked people, so it means that God is expecting wicked people to do something for his kingdom. And it's impossible. He asked those to do something who know what to do. That's his way through the whole Bible to do. Because wicked people are in position, they are like unknowing position before the Lord. And then I want to turn to 1 Corinthians. We take their very short point from the chapter 14. 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. And it's and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secret of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So here is the picture that it's in the form, if form anyway, but it says that if whole church comes together, it means like we are now together, and suddenly door opens, and there comes inside wicked person. We mention it very clearly, that's not, maybe there comes some drunker, and sometimes start to prophesy and reveal his problems. But then there might come with this drunker, uninformed person, and also people are prophesying and revealing what he has in his or her heart. What is this uninformed person? Old Greece used the word idiotes. Idiotes there in Old Greek language is the person who is crazy, because when there is a war and there is an enemy right side and own army left side, that person goes there between those front lines and is hanging around there. He could be shot by owns or by the devil. That's the meaning for uninformed person. So it means that this uninformed person is like a man or woman in the very weak eyes, walking there and suddenly falling down. It means if we turn back to the Hebrew, it's a person who is in danger to go too far and will go too far and so far and will crucify Christ again, and then it's impossible to renew that person in repentance. So it means it is a person who needs strong prophecy or some other strong warning from the Lord correct his life. God's Spirit is handling his or her same way like he is handling wicked person who's come inside from the door. There is same method, same style to prophesy. You have to repent. Same message to Paul. The whole church is there together, and those comes inside, or will come. It's possible that it happens. There comes wicked or uninformed. So it means we are living a time that we need strong prophecies, we need strong teaching, we need all kinds of gifts to help these people return back who are uninformed. Maybe they are the person who have received Jesus as the personal Savior, but they are under the wrong doctrines. Maybe they have gone wrong doctrines or wrong lifestyle by their own will. There may be many reasons what has happened in their life, but God wants lead them to get back to the unity with the church. That is way to do the work. I'm missing this kind of prophecies in this age, that more even the prophecy and other gift will lead people to full repentance, get back to follow the Lord. And then we turn this same verse, Corinthians, a little bit back, we go to chapter 3, and there we go to verse 8. First Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's fields, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What this text really is saying, we can even build wrong materials, we can build hay or straw, even wood, and they will burn. And still we are receiving the final destination, heaven. But there is, I could say in a very polite way, there is like a minimum demand from the Lord. Even those persons who build from the hay or straw or wood, they have to pay on the foundation which is Jesus Christ. But we are living in time and age where people, they look like they are Christians or they are from ways. And they are anymore not paying even to the foundation of Christ. So it's very important think sometimes to make the test like Paul did for his own heart. Do I know Christ? Do I believe him? Do I follow him? He was apostle and he just did a test. I can use that word. He did like a test to his heart. Am I on the right way to following Jesus Christ? It's good to do sometimes. It's better that you and me are even building with those more more dresses, more valuable materials, because it's not so nice if it happens that we have been building only one hay or straw or wood and it all burns. What it means that this person gets saved through the fire, but all burns. It means everything what he has done here in the earth for Christ, it disappears. Because it was his own things, own thoughts. He thought he was doing this all for Christ. So the whole life work goes in vain. And I never want, I like to be like the writer there in the Hebrew chapter 6 where we start that from you I'm believing bad. I never want it happens what I read here and tell you, but we have to understand anyway these warnings. Yeah. We have to understand there are all the time among the Christian foolish virgin and wise virgin. They are not appearing just at the last day. They are not like the mushroom which strays up when the rain comes. No, they are all the time here. And those uninformed persons are all the time beside the church life. Any time, any day, any year they will come through the door and need strong correction through the prophecy or through some other gift from the Lord. And goats are all the time, and those who don't use the talents are all the time among us. What is that idea there in the Corinthians chapter 14? Because we are not allowed to say any judgment. That's why the prophecy brings the judgment that person's heart. But it's not judgment for to go hell. It's judgment that this person could repent and get renewing his spirit and start to follow Jesus again. But anyway, we are in time where it's not happen anymore so often that other Christians that they should rebuke those who are falling in sin. Many times in Finland there comes some Christian saying, "I'm sorry, my brother and my sister has fallen in sin and she is doing this and that bad things, Jari." I ask and points that person in eyes, what you have done for these questions? Have you rebuked her, tried to help her or him? "Oh no, I just told this to you." No, you can do something. If you see somebody beside you is falling, walking in sin, you have to encourage yourself to rebuke by love. Not by trusting, but loving. And very seldom it happens this age that any person, the church, will leave into the hand of Satan, that his soul will save at the day of resurrection. But it's God's way to handle those who are in bad vernication. It's still his way. And I don't turn that verse, but I want to very polite way to mention you that we are leaving the end days. And it means before the Jesus comes, there comes also the days of Ananias and Sapphira. If you pray that Lord God give us revival, same breath you are praying, Lord give judgment for all sin. They are going like hand by hand. If you pray revival and you want to see real holy revival, it's going hand by judgment. Because there can't be any revival if the all sins must first come to just. That's God's will. It is his way to do work. So God's will is that we live holy life, follow Jesus with our whole heart and are ready to correct our own life, but understand we are in responsibility to help our sisters and brothers. When they had that, do you call it supper, where they had that first communion in when Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples, and then when he finished the work, he said, "I gave you an example, and so you have to wash your brothers and sisters' feet." There are many, even in Russia, many denominations where they wash feet congregationally. I don't have any critique for that. If you're someone to do that, it's okay. But I see that spiritual meaning, that if some of your sister or brother fall in sin, we have to ready to wash his or her feet, rebuking the sin and helping that person free from sin. And then there are sometimes Christians who don't know that they are living in sin. So it's very great need that some other brother or sister to come save your sin. I give you an example. I was making buildings, element houses there in Finland, and one Christian brother was working for me, and there was also unsaved carpenters working in my team. And it happened few times when that brother was nailing there something, and suddenly he instead of nail, hit his finger with the hammer, and there start to come so bad words that I can even repeat them. And it happened two or three times. There were like the cursing what he said. And then I said, "Oh, that's enough." And I took his from the hand and took it beside room, out from those unsaved person, and said, "Brother, have you been thinking what you says? Your testimony is bad for those unsaved person." And what he answered, he said, "I never mentioned that my mouth came so bad words. I thank that you said them." And so he repent. So there are hidden sin, what we sometimes can't see by ourselves. So it's very important that sisters and brothers tell correct this and that. But we have to do it by love. If we do by judging, we are then under law, and there is no room for the grace of God. So we have to do that feet washing according what Lord God exactly means. It means that feet washing, the meaning is that when we follow Jesus, we sometimes miss succeed, and it makes our feet dirty, and we have to clean. And if you don't understand how to clean, Lord wants to use the body members in Christ to do that. That we will go on and do our ministry. Because it says somewhere that sin makes us slow. It makes us slow in ministry. It makes us slow in family. It makes us slow and lazy, everything. So all sin is bad. We have to put it beside. And I'm not preaching you law. I'm preaching you grace. And that's why that you could understand me right what real grace is. I will finish this message, and I read the chapter 6 from Romans, and after that we will pray. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that such as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slave to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slave of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slave of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slave of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slave of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What root did you have then, the thing of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slave of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we will pray. Father God, we come in your holy presence, and Lord, I ask, open this heart to understand what all these verses mean. Lord, I understand this is very serious and very difficult area, but I ask, open to understand that I am not being laboring vain today, and help us to understand those life who are uninformed, who need correction. Help us to help those persons who are doing sin in the body of Christ. Help us to not be only to besides seeing what happens, but helping and praying and suffering our heart that those people will repent and Christ will get form again in their heart. And Lord, we pray for each other here, and you see everyone's life, where it's going, how much will age these people, or how many have walked back to milk, and how many has different kind of life condition. You see and you know everything, Lord God, and I ask help that we grow in you and grant our life to you and live in holiness and doing what is your will here in the earth. And that's all those who have called in ministry, and help them to go on this holy way, hallelujah. Going more far like the Moses was leading Israel out from Egypt, more far from Pharaoh, more far from Egypt, and finally to the promised land. Help us to go to the promised land and own it by faith, Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we bless all marriages here and all families, Lord God, we bless by your mercies and thank your help for all marriage and all family lives, Lord God. And we bless all those who are single, who have white because of that. And we bless and we ask your help to live anyway holy life, hallelujah. And you see all those who are sick and under the disease, under the weakness, under the financial problem and any kind of poundings. And you see those also who who have an unequal yoke with the unsaved person, and we come against that yoke, and we proclaim it be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we receive freedom from all those yokes in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you have promised the future and hope your all your people. Hallelujah. Touch every heart here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there is some coldness, some heart, help them come to form again in your mighty name, Lord God. We ask. Hallelujah. Oh glory. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord God, I ask your help that I see that there are many who has pain in elbows, and I proclaim all elbows to be healed here this night in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever their problem has come and caused, I proclaim victory for all elbows in the name of Jesus Christ, and we receive healing for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank your help that you strengthened the hands of body of Christ here in the name of Jesus Christ, that everyone could do his work, and the pain in elbows and all weakness elbows is out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank this day and this day which Lord has made, and we rejoice in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We come against all other diseases, come against the diseases that are in throne in the name of Jesus Christ, and proclaim healing just now. Hallelujah. Receive your healing. Hallelujah. Throne and neck, receive your healing now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank your power, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 And I see the left shoulder here, and there is pain in this area. It's like you here up and here down. I proclaim victory for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank your healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody has problem in your lungs. It's difficult to breathe here in the meeting, and we proclaim those lungs be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive healing for lungs in the name of Jesus. Just now, hallelujah, we thank your help, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank, hallelujah, hallelujah. And someone has like an extra burdens on your shoulders, and he commented, all extra burdens get out there, because Jesus says that my yoke is light, and my burden is light, and he wants there that there is not any extra yoke on your shoulders. We command it to get out. Hallelujah. It yoke which he puts on your shoulders, it with there, because it's his plan, and all extra will get out there. In the there is some heavy burden and heavy yoke on your shoulders in spiritual life, and come and it to get out. And I bound all devil spirits and whatever it has connection for sin, I proclaim forgiveness, that this yoke will be broken by the anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Be free and receive your freedom now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So they'll all extra yoke out, and there's only room for the yoke of Jesus Christ and his burdens only. We thank that in the name of Jesus Christ. And somebody has a pain here in the back of the head, and we rebuke that pain in the name of Jesus Christ, and we receive healing for that head now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and we thank your help, Lord God. Hallelujah. Whatever there is, Lord God, we receive healing and help this time. And if somebody has started to feel his sin during this meeting and is ready to repent as your servant, I proclaim all your sin will be forgiven in his name through his blood, and receive full perfect forgiveness in his name. Hallelujah. And be free and go on this holy life, holy path in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I see that there are some, maybe few, I see like a clear understanding, and tomorrow tomorrow is a new day in your life, and God is turning your life direction, and you see some things from a new direction, and understand more clearly what Jesus and Father are wanting you to do. And I see there are some who are receiving wisdom, and even tomorrow you have the wisdom what you do those bad problems. They are like a net with what devil has put in your life, and you get the wisdom like a scissors or knife, how you cut off the net and jump there off and be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Be blessed and be strong and be faithful servants up into the end. Amen.